Makes me think of something that says we start the Vision Sunday day. It's a good reminder. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Proverbs also says, there are many plans in a man's heart, but the Lord directs the steps. So with these reminders in place, let me talk about plans. And as we do so, it is a good reminder. We as elders in our church are wanting to present to our church a God-honoring, faithful direction for our church. And one of my prayers for this day is that what is of God will stick. Stick in our hearts, sticks in our minds, sticks in our life. And what is of man would fall by the wayside. And so that is one of my prayers. You know, Facebook has these reminders of, or your these memories that pop up. For those of you who are not on that, it has kind of this message of what you were doing this day 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And nothing makes you feel quite as old as that. As you see 9 years ago, I was like, really? This much time has passed. And this past week, I had one of those things pop up, and it reminded me that it was last Sunday was my first Sunday as far as the calendar year at Green Pines, now 14 years ago. man, 14 years ago, you know, things have changed. I've changed. We have changed. The world's changed. Church has changed. But it's it kind of caused me to reflect a little bit on what has happened over the years at our church. And so before we present what we like to be and do in 2019, it's a little time of pause to talk about what has been. When I first got here, 2005, there was a focus on what is the church, the purposes of the church. This is, for those of you who recall, we did the purpose-driven life study at that time. We divided up into small groups, and we grew, actually, during that time period as we went out in small groups and talked about who we are and the purposes of a church. We studied in Ecclesiastes, and we talked about life and vanity of life. And then we looked in the Sermon on the Mount, and then we did about a two-year study in the book of Matthew as we learned about what the kingdom of God and who is the king, Jesus. And as we went from the purpose-driven life, we divided up into two Sunday school time slots, for those of you who may remember that. And a lot of that was about reproducing leaders, building new leaders. And we continued in that direction until as we got into 2010 and realized that there needed to be some unity in our church. And so we moved from having multiple worship times to one worship time because the question was asked, what would be most pleasing to the Lord? And as at that time we looked at that and we realized there needed to be some people being together. But despite that, it did not produce the unity within our church. There was some addressing needs of leadership as we looked at this and beginning for me in 2010, realizing what leadership needed to look like in our church, the recognition of our church of who the leaders are, because it was just confusion, which began about a five-year process of trying to get that taught, understood. In 2015, elders were voted in. As a church, and leadership still wasn't settled, as that became really a point of contention for us as a church in 2016. And doing the study in Ephesians and trying to bring out what is the church in unity, and it wasn't happening. Just wasn't happening. And of course, in 2016, 2017, became a very contentious time in our church when, as a church, there was a division and a parting of ways And that was heartbreaking. It was crushing for many of us to endure and to experience, as we've seen friends that we've known for years go different directions. In that, there was a consensus, at least a unified direction on the leadership in the church. And as the elders have walked through these years, and some beginning in 2015, I needed them more than I ever had to be able to pray with them, to get comfort together, to get direction together. I needed their help in influencing us as a church to understand what does biblical leadership look like, that it's not one person calling all the shots, but there is a plurality of understanding that there is when we seek God's direction, it's going to be echoed in the hearts of others around us in leadership. And so in 2017 or 2018, we've seen God's healing take place as we realize life has gone on and that God is bringing people into our church because there is a need, an ever-growing need in Knightdale. One of the things that's different about Knightdale now versus in 2005 is that when people moved into the area, they were generally looking for a church. In 2018, 2019, you can't necessarily assume that because they move into the area that they're looking for a church. In fact, the assumption now is the exact opposite. They don't see a need for church for the most part. And so it's not to continue fighting over the church-going people in our community, but how can we make a difference in those who are unbelievers, who do not yet know Jesus as their Savior and Lord? That is, and really should have always been the crux of a church, always should have been the thrust of a church. And so as we sit here, as we looked in 2018, we had this theme of breathe. Intake God's word, exhale God's stories, and sharing with others. And we started learning the value of reading the Bible together. This was something that, you know, it wasn't rocket science. It's always been there, right? But now the novel approach, well, let's do it. Let's do it together as we did the Bible reading plan, F260, and read through most of the Old and New Testament, and then turned how to share with others. And we started focusing on inviting people out for lunch after church. So those who come here searching, let's respond and like turn and learning how to make friends, not just be friendly. That was a very intentional aspect on our part to learn how to do that. And this is something that continues to always still need to be. Not be friendly, but make friends. If you're going to make friends, being friendly is just the first step. But so many times as a church, we just settle for that, right? And don't move on. But as we looked in the Word of God and we considered our church and who we are, the problems that are there, who we want to be, how do we get there? And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, looking at verses 42 specifically, but on through verse 47 as we're going to read this together. And this formed a framework for us as elders as we were thinking about this of, you know, if we're going to be somebody, let's have these qualities about us as a church. This is the early church. This is the Holy Spirit has come upon the believers now. And there's just been this influx of thousands of people at one time at Pentecost. And so what do we do with all these people? How do they get into church? How do they become Christ-like? How are they reproducing the disciples? How are they making a difference in Jerusalem, ultimately Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth? And so this is this picture of what that looks like. And so I'm going to ask, as we read this together, let's stand in honor of this being God's word. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You may be seated. So we looked at this passage, we focused in on what the disciples did. This is describing them. It's not necessarily prescribing instructions for the church, but it is describing the church. And there's some things that God did, there's some things the community in response did, and then there were things that the church did. And so we focused in on what did the church do? What were their actions? How were they described? Can that be done today? And what might it look like today if we did some of the same things? I'm going to show an image to you, and this is our logo. It should look familiar to you with some words put in. If you ever wondered about the logo and the four segments in it, there are certain aspects about our church that we wanted to see in our church. These are values. These are values that we've seen in the church and values that we want in our church. When I first got here, in fact, one of the things that attracted me to Green Pines as a prospective pastor was I recognized that this church already had a value of God's word and they already had a value of missions within the DNA of the church. I recognized those same values within me as a pastor, a prospective pastor, and I knew that this could be a place where I could serve and where I could work and that there was a consistency there. And so that's already within the church, and that has come from God's working, and that has come from the people themselves over the last 40-some years, almost 50 years, of the people themselves, valuing God's word, teaching the Bible. That's not a new thing. And I'm going to just say, in 1970, when this church started, even into the 90s, teaching the Bible was not extremely popular in this area. In Raleigh, to find churches that would consistently teach the Bible was certainly a minority. Thankfully, that has changed in a large degree over the last 15 to 20 years. And so this idea of spiritual disciplines, to say we want to seek, go deep into God's word, is a value of who we are as a church. That's why we did what we have done this last year. That's why we would continue to do that. We want a culture of disciple making. This is a value that we desire. Parts of it are there in our church, but there's more that needs to happen. A disciple-making culture. A culture is what most people are doing most of the time. All right, it's much harder than strategies. It's a culture of disciple-making. This is part of Sunday school, but it's also part of some other initiatives that we want to look at. How can people become more Christ-like by being a part of Green Pines? That ought to be said. If you're a part of Green Pines, then you are becoming more Christ-like because of the atmosphere. That was the idea of the greenhouse for the Great Commission, to say we want to create an atmosphere for that to happen. We want to be loving people near and far. Loving people near and far. This was the idea of missions. The whole point of going overseas is that we love God and we love people and we love the church, and we want to see the church reproduced in China and the Middle East, and various other countries where God has sent out our folks to go. And so we want to love people far, but we also want to love people nearby. Because what's the point of shining the light over there if we're not shining bright here? Learning how to love the people in Knightdale. And that became one of our directions as we looked in the past of loving out loud, as that was a direction step for us in 29, 2010, 2011, of learning how to bless Hodge Road, and that brought us into relationships with Hodge Road Elementary School. That began the food pantry, this idea of loving out loud as we visited our neighborhoods and realized there's some real needs. That began ESL for a number of years in our church, as we realized there's a Hispanic community that is right here, and that's one of the reasons why we sought out a Spanish congregation to meet here, is we know the needs that are here. And so this blessing, loving people near and far, and then corporate worship is us coming together. And I'm just going to say this, that as a church, the single most important thing we do every week is right here, right now. being together and worship of Jesus Christ. It is the most important thing we do as a church every week. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to see that's not a new idea. It goes way back to the very beginning. And so just as a symbol, just think about it. These are four values that have been a part of our church we want to see continue in our church. But I'm going to just introduce to you a statement. For the last 14 years, we've had this tagline, the Green Pines is to be greenhouse for the Great Commission. That's great. It's biblically accurate. It's about creating disciple-making culture. It's about making disciples of going into all parts of the world. And it's very, I love the metaphor. It's very, imagery is there. But the problem is that that statement could be and should be applied to every gospel church. And so I want to just introduce to you a statement that is a little bit more focused on who we are as a church. The question has been asked, who's Green Pines? Who will we be? Who are we now? And so let me just introduce this statement. I don't know if you can read that, but it says, for the glory of God, we are a family in Christ, intent on blessing our neighbors near and far with the good news of Jesus Christ. For the glory of God, we are a family in Christ, intent on blessing our neighbors near and far with the good news of Jesus Christ. When you read this statement, I pray that there is an echo in your heart. Yeah, that's who we are as a church. That's who I want to be. That's who we want to be. And what I'd like to do is use Acts 2 and kind of break down some of the phrases of this statement and flesh it out as we see it in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, notice they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So as we look at this, I want you to understand that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to Christ and what he had to say. They were devoted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this and we see the early church and how they're described, devoted to the apostles' teaching, this captures this idea that we are as a family. What makes us a family is that we're in Christ. We're in his word. We're in his spirit. We're in his person. And therefore, we are presenting the good news. We want to bless people with the good news. We have to know the good news. We have to understand that as a church, to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, that our primary authority is the Bible. Is the Bible. If you'll go on to the next slide so that folks can see that. To understand that what makes us who we are is what we believe about the Bible. When we have our new members class, our Day of Growth class, one of the things I talk about, I spend a large amount of time on the Bible, it being God's Word, the revelation of God to us, and therefore infallible, which means it will not lead us astray. And so it becomes our basis of authority. And so that's why I teach from the Bible, verse by verse, as we will get back to 1 Peter one day. It'll be in February, Lord willing, when we get back to that. That's why we want to continue with the F260, reading the New Testament. And so that began this past week. It is a five-day-a-week type Bible reading. As you know, there's 7 days in a week. So that means if you just got word of this, it's okay. You can catch up as you read a chapter a day. We're going to read through the whole New Testament, every chapter with this plan. And the goal of this is not just to check the box and so that you're not guilty when you come here in church or feel some sense of shame because you're so far behind or whatever. The goal of this is that you can hear God, that you can praise God and learn about who he is and who we are in relationship to him. And so that's the focus of this, is that we brought it down to a chapter a day so we can think about who God is and that we do this together as a community. One of the other initiatives that we will be starting this year, If last year, reading the Word of God was a step, this year we like to increase the step of being devoted to apostles' teaching and making disciples by looking at D groups. Looking at D groups. If you go back to the previous slide, D groups is simply a small group, 2 to 3 people, where we will meet together on your own schedule. In other words, this isn't a scheduled amount of time of, you know, Wednesday nights that we do this. This is according to your schedule. And there's 3 tracks that we're hoping to be able to present to you, depending on where you are. One is simple Bible reading. Can I get with somebody and learn how to read the Bible? And so this will be a short 10 to 12 week time where you will read the Bible with someone and they will help you in reading that Bible with you. The second track that we're going to look at is more about disciplines for spiritual growth. So now that you're a believer, how do I grow in Christ? What's needed for that to happen? There's some of you that are new believers, and prayerfully, Lord willing, there will be new believers this year. We want them to be able to come into, and one of the things that's hit me, as we've had new believers come this past year, they're asking, some of the stuff, I get in these groups and people are talking about all this stuff and I have no idea what they're saying and I feel like it's a foreign language. Is there a group where I can just, what's the basics here? And I can ask questions and I don't feel like an idiot because I'm asking these questions. This is where a D group can help with that, where it's just 1 or 2 to 3 people. The third track that we like to offer is going to focus on living your lifestyle, your accountability, as well as bearing fruit. So this is someone that wants to continue on, and they went, okay, I'm learning the disciplines, but I'm realizing that being a follower of Christ makes me very different. I want to talk about, and I need help, and being different, living differently around the my friends, my coworkers, my family, and I need some help focusing on what does it mean to be a man or a woman following Christ in this atmosphere I'm in. So the first track is going to be on Bible reading. Second one is on disciplines for spiritual growth. And the third one would be on bearing fruit in your lifestyle. Bearing fruit in your lifestyle. And so what we'll be doing for the next few weeks is we'll be presenting to you a survey. If you would like to take part of this, here's how we're going to measure success, okay? Measure success isn't 50% of you. It isn't 30. We don't have a percentage of you being involved in this. What would be successful for us is if you get into a D group, you learn, and you want to lead another D group. In other words, we won't be able to measure success in the next 10 to 15 weeks, but we will look for the next 30 weeks to see if we start with one D group, but the one D group starts 2 or 3 D groups. We will be successful there because what the goal is to make disciples. One of the passages Jeff was reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but in that same book, he talks about how we are to train others who will be able to teach others. And so in this survey that we're going to hand out, we're going to get some basic information, and you tell us which track you'd like to be a part of. Praise God, I've already had several of you come and say, I want to be a part of that. And so I look forward to that. And some of you really need to be the D group leader. The D group leader. And part of us getting the survey is to know how many people want this and who we can tap to be a leader. So perhaps on this survey, you might say, I wouldn't mind leading. I wouldn't mind being with a group of guys and ladies. And this is not just adults. This is going down into our teenagers as well to say, let's be a part of this. Let's look at this together. And so this is part of being devoted to the apostles' teaching. The value of disciple making, of teaching what Jesus taught us. And so if as a church we don't do that, we're kind of missing the whole point of us being here, making disciples. All right, devoted to the apostles' teachings. This is our primary authority. But listen, we also see the early church in Acts chapter 2 have this amazing hospitality toward one another, where they are daily meeting together, where they are eating together at homes and then coming together in large groups. And so we want to be devoted to hospitality. This is blessing our neighbors. This is our primary action as a church. What do we do as a church? Well, as a church, we want to be a blessing to the people, understanding the greatest blessing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as a sign that we have the good news of Jesus Christ, we extend ourselves out. We give ourselves out to point to the gospel. That may very well be to say, would you this year be willing to open up your time, maybe even your home, to have someone who's not in church just eating with you? Why this? So this is the idea of open table. How can we devote it to be hospitality? How can we be a blessing to our neighbor? Well, one way we can do this, and these methods may change, but blessing our neighbors is something God has called us to do, blessing them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One way we can do that is this open table idea. So when we're looking at open tables, this is can be one-on-one, but we are encouraging it to be more. This can be a family project, or you can pull resources together with another member of the church or another member of your Sunday school class. And the goal is to invite someone not involved in church or far from God and love them in this way. This could be having coffee. It could be having some social event like games or something like that. But in our society, meals matter. Influence runs on the road of relationships. And in our society, no greater acceptance of relationship is usually measured than a meal together. So we're encouraging us to get together, team up with somebody in your Sunday school class, or just do it as a family, or one or two of you get together and say, can we invite some maybe common people we have, invite them to come to our house and just share with them, love them, have them over for a dinner, have a game night. The goal is to love them. I think so many times in our society that we kind of get in our little silos. We have our church silo, and we don't know anyone that we can impact with the gospel. And so this is, if we have this measurement of let's have these dinners, let's have these times, and I'm just going to present, can we do 200 of these? Is that something we can do, to have 200 times together, meals together, where we have folks that are not in church, not already talking our language, they're far from God, but for us just to get to know them, love them, and open up our door to them, open up our home to them and say, would you come? God has blessed you with the home. God has blessed you with the table. Why? Well, for the glory of God. And one such way to glorify God is to use your table, use your home, and invite people to come and just get to know them, love them, pray with them, pray for them. Now, I want to just share a couple of testimonies. One of our members I knew was doing things similar, and you're going to see some different methods of what this looks like. But she wrote this testimony. She said, hospitality is not the gift I thought I had, but I love to read to, interact with, and teach kids. Our neighborhood has between 8 to 10 African-American kids ranging in age from preschool to 8th grade, but mostly we spend time with the three kids two doors down. It began because our townhouse area had no playground or specific place for kids to play. We've always loved watching neighborhood kids play, so we bought some jump ropes, bubbles, sidewalk chalk, small frisbees, and left them outside in a large yellow bin for any of our neighbor kids to use. We got to know them by playing with them. Kids love to have adults play, too. I also love to bake, so I invited them over to bake with me, teaching, measuring, making messes, and eating. On the clear, windy day of the hurricane, we flew a kite with all the neighbor kids and taking turns, of course. Over the snow days, we decorated aprons so each chef had their own. They got to practice writing their letters. They became sculptors as we made and played with Play-Doh. We planted sunflowers in the summer and watched them grow. We have made and eaten pizza, cake, and cookies. It is mostly impromptu when we have time and the kids are available. One of my favorite memories is of them sitting on our couch, wrapped up in our blankets and falling asleep. The kids live with lots of family, smoking, and noise. We have been able to take them in and feed them when they come home to an empty house. The parents are thankful as they struggle to make ends meet. God has blessed us, so we use this as an opportunity to share what we have been given. It's not always easy when toys are left out or rules are not followed, or when I forget that hospitality is about loving grace. These kids may not have much in the way of things, but they are full of song and wonder for the world. They bless us with their beautiful smiles and thank yous in sidewalk chalk. They are just fun. May God make a difference in their future. This is what one of our members is doing in their neighborhoods. You don't know about that, but this is just something they do. This is hospitality. It looks different where they live according to their gifts and their abilities. It may look different for you. Who's around you? What's your gifting? What are your abilities? What's your burden as you see the community around you? One of our members shared with me something that she was doing. She says, she wrote to me and gave me this message. I shared with you earlier what I put on the About page. This is something that I felt pushed towards for quite some time. Since 2008, and this is preceding before she became a believer. The feeling has gotten stronger throughout the years and has changed and shifted some. It started out as a meetup group when I first moved to Knightdale. We opened up our home and had folks come every weekend for fellowship to share challenges from the past week, positive affirmations, meditation, which is now turned into prayer, and ended in something good and positive that they encountered during the week. I felt led to create the group for a while, as it is uplifting to have a group of people come together, talk through their challenges, to get it out of their head, filling that space with prayer and focusing on a positive experience they have had. Throughout the meeting, the participants can almost feel weights being lifted, and they go into the next few days rejuvenated and renewed. We tend to carry around the junk we experience throughout the week, all the good, all the challenging experiences. We're either so busy that we don't have time to really connect with others in a safe place, or the challenges have gotten the best of us, and we find it challenging to just do the basic things in life. When we don't have an outlet or a group of people that we feel safe to talk to, those weights continue to bear down on us and get heavier each week until we eventually break, either mentally, spiritually, or physically. The light that was once very bright begins to dim, and the world around us begins to look different. Talking openly, candid in a group of others, where we feel safe and not judged about our fears, concerns, anxieties, worries, begin to lift the burden off our shoulders. When we pray for each other, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come in and fill that space with unconditional love. When we share something positive that we've experienced, light begins to come back to our face as we speak and we feel lifted up. When done on a consistent basis, members of the group become family and we become part of an amazing support system. They're for others as they need and support from others as we need. Growth and positive life changes usually follows. We become stronger mentally, spiritually, and physically. Food is an important part of the experience. Going to events and you will see people conversing with each other around the food stations and at tables while eating. There's a comfort level that exists around food that makes it easier for us to open up with one another. When the food is prepared in a way where thought and love is put into the food that's prepared and served, it can be felt by those consuming it. It adds to the experience of getting to know and sharing with one another. This is something that she began even before really coming to know Jesus as the Savior and Lord. And it's slowly forming as Christ is forming in her life in a different direction. These are just a couple ways that I've been working with Brad, and one of the ideas I've had is there's a couple. Many of you may remember Joe and Sarah. They were friends of ours, and they're out of church. They're just not able to come and be a part anymore. And one of the reasons why is because they have a special needs child. And special needs children makes everything difficult, hard. And coming to church is probably one of the higher difficulty levels. And so now they found themselves out and just away from church. And I got together with them. I happened upon them in the neighborhood as was my son and I were walking in the neighborhood in Planner's Walk, and got together with them and just said, hey, you know, there's another family in our church and they could use some friends, and they also have a special needs son. And so I'm working with them trying to set a date. And that's an example of me trying to pull together with someone else in our church to help make this happen. There's a lot of different ways you can go about this. But this is something that, as a church, We believe strongly that you are our best outreach tool for the gospel. It's not the worship service. A lot of churches structure the worship service. Seeker sensitive and things like that. But as I read in the Bible, I've always struggled with that model. Because it seemed like in the Bible, from the Old Testament into the New Testament, it's people, it's individuals, it's together a community that bear the ark of God, not man-made systems. You are our best asset apart from the Holy Spirit working in our life. So our church, someone had designated last year money for outreach. And so what the elders have decided to do is use a portion of that money, $1,500, and we're going to mark this to reimbursing people that do this. Now, there's some limits to that. Specifically, $1,500 is a limit. But we're putting it down in $15 segments. And that if you would like to be reimbursed for this, then we will do so. We'll have a form to mark who you are. But one of the things we have this form for is we want to know your story. We love to know what opportunities did you have? What prayers did you have? What things were shared? And if you would give us back that form, because we want to see, don't put it, you know, last names or things like that. You don't need to put their names down. But just talk about who came or how many people came, and this is what was shared, and this is now our follow-up plan of how we want to keep ministering to them. We love to have those stories, and I'd like to have those physically up where they're visible to our congregation, where people can see the stories being made. I would love to see 200 stories of us meeting together, sharing, praying, people who are far from God. And to have that on one of our walls, and as you come in and you can see, the church is making a difference. There are an influence, there are relationships, they are loving people, they're blessing the neighbor, near and far, with hope of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Devoted to the apostles' doctrine, to teaching. Devoted to hospitality. You see this as we read in Acts 2 of how they would continually meet together. And then the community came as the fear and awe grew. And as the Bible says, that they grew in favor with the people. They were blessing Jerusalem by their presence. Despite the opposition, they were growing and coming as God brought to them. Blessing our neighbor far. You've already heard from our missions team that we will continue going down the direction of sharing, of going places. And a lot of these places where we go, just in case you don't know, is largely driven by the members. In other words, when God calls someone from our church somewhere, then that place they go, the people they go, rise in importance and priority to our church. That's why Puga has risen to the adoption level. But you know, when we committed to that, it was a 3-year commitment. It's been past that time. But it may very well be that God has answered prayers in ways we never would have written or could have dreamed of. As essentially the American team has been forced out. And one of the goals was the national team to step up and rise. And they've been slowly stepping up and rising in leadership. And they now are doing the work of making disciples, reproducing churches in Puga and other places. Last time Jeremy was here, he made this statement. Puga County has been a star in church reproduction. I believe that is God's answer to prayer. And as far as I know, this church was the only church praying for that whole county that I know of. Keep them in prayer as opposition is growing. We don't know if Jeremy and Trisha will be able to go back. Keep Jeremy in prayer and their family. He lost his older brother this past week, 58, unexpected. We're going to pray for the Hintons and the Middle East. There's only a few things that we can do with them. But one of the things that we're starting to do is helping with some social media platforms that they are using to try to get word out and prayer out. And so we've had one of our members working on that. Josh Korth is taking the time and trying to help build their social media presence and their requests, their needs, but we're going to continue lifting them up in prayer. Chip and Kathy have been our church member liaisons to make sure that they are talked to and shared with. And as opportunity comes, we want to be a part wherever that can be, because it's a hard place where they're at in the Middle East. Stacy and Loretta Thompson are no longer members of our church, but as they have shared, the missions burden grew while they were here. They were having their first trips overseas while they're here, and they still count our church as a spiritual home for them. So Stacy and Loretta are now spending their retirement years in East Asia. And so we've had Chris and Lisa Best to be our church member liaisons with them, staying in communication with them, and they're looking at having opportunities for us perhaps to go, and that's one of the things that's on our radar is in the fall of going to East Asia, helping them train local pastors using the storing method. One of our past staff members has moved. He's now in Washington State, Wayne and Jennifer. And so this is risen on our radar now to see how can we join in with them. They've identified a festival that their town takes part of. Bohemian something. I got lost on the word bohemian. But they have a bohemian festival, so I'm kind of curious to see what that is. And so we're going to look at how can we have a small group team go there and help this church plant that he's a part of in Washington State. And so these are just a few of the opportunities. With Lynch, Kentucky is something that we've seen our church members take a part of and see it as a project for us to work in. And so we're going to team up with a church in Lynch, Kentucky in the Appalachian regions. And working with them. We want to be devoted to hospitality, blessing our neighbors near and far. But we want to be devoted to one another. Devoted to one another. You see this in the early church, how they were meeting together on a daily basis, breaking bread and fellowshipping with one another. Why do we do this? We do this because we are a family. And the family is our primary identity. Jesus says there's several identities that church can claim. And they're all true. One is a body, one is a flock, and the other is a family. But in our setting, in Green Pines, we have gravitated toward the family model specifically to understand the relationships that are there. It is true that Green Pines is a family, and it's not just like a family. That doesn't communicate what it is, because the Bible says the church is a family, not like a family, and is a family. Therefore, it's directed and operated by certain roles as any family would have. Not elected offices, but people take roles according to their spiritual gifts and abilities and as the church entrusts them. But if that's true, if we're a family, then being together is going to be a focus for our church, just as it was for the early church. With that in mind, we want to make Sundays and Wednesdays our times together. What does that mean? Well, focus it, and not every day, but to have Sunday and Wednesday when we are focusing on people being here. Honestly, sometimes on Wednesday, I just miss some people. I just miss people. Sundays is a wonderful time for us to be together. Wednesday can be as well. And so we want to concentrate our schedule to those 2 days. Why? Well, one, it's going to make room. If we focus it on those 2 days, it's going to make room, because we're also asking you to do a D group on your own schedule. We're asking you to be open to having people in your home. And you're going to find one of the key statements of one of the members says that we do this as we have time, as we're available. But you can be so much doing church stuff that you're never available to know the people around you in your community. And part of this is our attempt to say, let's be together, but let's also make time for you to be a difference maker in your community. So to help accomplish this, we're going to make Wednesday night a rotation of different emphasis on our Wednesday nights. GAs, our gyms, and RAs will maintain, will continue doing what they have been doing. But from students up, we're looking at having different focuses each Wednesday night. For the first Wednesday, we want this to be our service and project outreach night. And so many of you, some of you ladies are familiar with Mercy Triumphs. Mercy Triumphs, I was talking with Harry about this, was born out of how can we get a lot of talents, people who are gifted in different ways, who want to encourage, have a desire to encourage people, how can we get them together to do their gifts, their abilities, and encouraging people. And so for the last month, or last year or more, these group of ladies have been meeting together, and they've been doing various projects. And so I've been talking with Harriet and saying, you know, can we do this as a church? Can we have folks that have different talents, different abilities, and can we create a project for them one time a month where we all get together and we work to encourage segments of our community, our segments of our church, or certainly new people in our area? What can we do? Not just sit there and listen. But what can we do together? And so Harriet and some of them are helping us to have one month, one night a month, the first Wednesday of every month, being kind of our Mercy Triumphs for our church, of encouraging people using our gifts and abilities together. The second and fourth Wednesdays are our Bible study and prayer time. Now, I've just introduced this idea of hospitality, and we realize that we need to let that simmer in our head a little bit. Think about that. And so that's going to form the focus of our discussion on the second and fourth nights as we learn how to do hospitality. In fact, this month, the rest of this month, outside of January 30th, is going to be a fellowship supper, January 30th. But on every night the rest of this week, Jeff Hillis is going to help lead us in a discussion on hospitality. Looking at Rosaria Butterfield's book that she's just recently put out, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And so that's going to be forming some of what we talk about on Wednesday nights leading up to this time in February. This rotation will begin in February. And so we'll start at 6:30 and we'll end at 7:15. Except for the third Wednesday of every month. That's going to be our fellowship supper. That will begin at 5:45. We'll be serving food from 5:45 on through 6:30. At 6:30, we want to have a time that's church-focused. Sometimes it's issue-based. Sometimes it's Bible teaching time. So what we want to do for February, the third week of February, we've asked Brad Paradis to come and share with us about a little bit more about family ministry. We talked about being a family in Christ. That is our primary identity. We can't be divorced of our biological family in that. That's one of the reasons we, by faith, brought on Brad to be our family ministry, to work in that area. And so much more needs to happen to help us learn how to be families that worship together. Because here's the thing, right? When we talk about having folks come into our house, and they're going to watch us as families, that might be scary and might be cause for alarm for some of us. But to say, how can we be a family that worships together? Because what's the point of having people come to know us if we don't draw people to Christ? That comes from worshiping Him. As we devoted to one another, that means also we want to grow large and small at the same time. This is not a new initiative. This is something that has been from the very beginning. What does that mean, large and small? We want to continue to grow. We believe that God is the one that adds to the church. We see this happen in Acts chapter 2. That God can do that. We want to pray for that. We want to pray for this time of worship and praise the Lord to grow. But it also needs to grow smaller at the same time. What does that mean? There needs to be continued emphasis on our Sunday school classes, our small groups. One of the things that we're going to celebrate at the end is one class has birthed a new class. Started today for the very first time. Acts 2:42 started a new class. I think Fusion, is that's the right name? Fusion is the name of it. And they began, I think they had 13 there today, and what's significant about that is that these were 13 people that were currently not really active in a small group. And there are a lot more there are a lot more people that are not active in a small group that come here. And so we're not having to take away from classes to make this happen. All we got to do is just reach out to the ones that are here, help them get into a group, help them to get into the teaching of the gospel, help them to get to know one another, being devoted to one another, and moving into disciple-making culture as a church. And so we want to see that happen. One of the great things that happens is as we create these new units, we get new leaders. And we need new people to step up in leadership in our church. Sunday school classes and starting new groups is a great way to happen. The D groups is a great way for that to happen as well. Developing new leaders. The last thing I want to bring out to you. As we read this, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayers. And then verse 47, we see that, or 46, they're breaking bread in their homes. They did this small group and tending the temple, that's large group. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. How did they do this? Why did they do this? Because it was about praising God. If you think about it, church here, they're meeting every day. Do you know other groups that do that? I mean, does the Republican Party say, let's meet every day? Does the Democrat Party say, let's meet every day? What would cause people to meet every day? It is this idea of, I want to praise God. I want to glorify God. So we want to be devoted to praising God. We want to live for the glory of God. That is our primary motive as a church, is to live for the glory of God. And so as we look at that sentence once again, it is for the glory of God that we are a family in Christ. It's for the glory of God that we are in Christ. It's for the glory of God that we want to be intent on blessing our neighbors near and far. It is for the glory of God that we do so with the good news of Jesus Christ, knowing that it is the good news of Jesus Christ that gives the greatest glory to God. The motive is praising God. So corporate worship maintains priority. It is to be the most important thing that we do each week. One of the greatest blessings I have each week is when I hear you sing. When I hear the testimony of the people as they're growing, Lord, as I hear about the growing, when I see people getting baptized, which, by the way, next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to have a baptism, and we have four people that are designated to be baptized. Ed, Melanie, Aliana, Maddie Dagenhart. These are four that said we want to be baptized. I'm looking forward to that time of doing that with them. But I look forward to also hearing you sing and singing with you. I'm looking forward to hear how you're growing in the Lord. Praising God. One of the things that we see is that they were breaking bread. This is an idea of certain eating meals together, but it certainly also speaks to the communion. One of the things that we'd like to do as a church is hold communion more frequently than we have. We're looking at a goal of once a month, varying the different weeks, so when people are out and that they can get it. But the reason is that, one, Jesus asked us to do it. We cite the description of the early church that they did it more frequently. And in it, there is value in repetition. There is value of learning by continually doing these things together. Because what are you doing? You're eating bread, and Jesus said, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. When you drink of the cup, you're saying, this is the blood of Jesus, which is shed for you. It is a constant message of Jesus in our place. His sacrifice for us. He being a part of us, though we don't deserve it. It is God's invitation to us to come to the table. And so for us to be able to be freely giving to others, we need to be constantly reminded how Jesus freely gave to us. And the communion table is one way that Jesus asks us to remember that and to see this as a special time. This praising God. You think about it. What does a broken people do? What do they need? They need to be reminded every day that there's someone beautifully broken for them. When you see something beautiful, you want to talk about it. You want to share it. And in sharing of it becomes more beautiful. And so in reading the Word of God, as we praise, we were focused on who Jesus is to find our joy. So when people are, what's the answer when people have resentment? The answer is praising God. What's the answer when people are wounded and they're mourning in their life, they're grieving? The answer is going to be focus on God and praise Him for who He is. What's the answer when there's sin in our life and we need to be confronted? The answer is, let's focus on God. Let's praise Him for who He is. When we look at each other, it is to be able to say, let's praise our holy God who is so holy that He became sin for us. It does not blow your mind. And just see how this God speaks into our life in 2019 and the problems that will come and the relationship barriers that will pop up in our Green Pines Church. The answer will always be, let's look to God, our holy God who is broken for us. Can we glorify Him? Praising Him, it speaks to us. There is not a Sunday that goes by that I don't need to hear people praise Jesus and glorify God. In 2019, let us live for the glory of God. How can we do so? When we realize that for the glory of God, we are a family in Christ, intent on blessing our neighbors near and far with the good news of Jesus Christ. Devoted to the apostles' teachings, let's read the Bible together. Let's form D groups. Devoted to hospitality, let's have open tables. Let's go on those trips. Devoted to one another, we are a family. Let's focus on being together on the Sundays and Wednesdays. Let's create new small groups. Let's praise God for the glory of God as our primary motive to have communion. And let's praise God at every opportunity we've got. Let's just see. Will that change, Nightdell? I don't know, but it will change me. And I'm going to leave the rest for God's promises. And I've got good precedent as I read Acts 2:42 that God can and has used it to shape the world. Let's pray.